Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has stated in the Qur'an al-Kareem regarding the human being, has stated لَقَدْ كَانَ. Allah ta'ala mentions clearly about أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. Allah ta'ala says that I have created insan, the human being, and the human being is a complete framework, is a complete example. Allah Ta'ala said, I created the human being in a complete manner. Zahiri wa batin. Batina wa zahira. Internally and externally. Allah Ta'ala said, I created insan in such a way that everything according to his needs, I created his body externally, physically, beauty, appearance, physically, spiritually, so that everything that he desires and requires, he will be able to attain in the world. Allah Ta'ala created this takhliq of human being. Whatever we had as a need in the world, the eye, our nose, our eyes, our visibility, our hands, our smell, our senses, all of these things Allah Ta'ala says that I've created for you, so that insan, whatever he requires when he lives, he will attain. You can listen from the ears, you can look from the eyes. The whole wujud, the whole body, Allah Ta'ala has created according to our requirements. And if, subhanAllah, if in any part, if there's any weakness, or if it is not complete maybe, if we think this is the case, then Allah Ta'ala says, this is my hikmah, this is my wisdom. لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. A man should never think that this is the case. Rather, he should consider that this is the hikmah of Allah. Because Allah Ta'ala says, oh, I've not given you something maybe that you think you need in this world. I will give you compensation for that in opposition to that. And Allah Ta'ala says, then I will take your work from that thing in opposition to that. So surely we created man of the best stature. Allah says this in the Quran. لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. So don't pick deficiencies or try to pick bones. And there's another beautiful thing I'd like to mention that Allah Ta'ala has given to us, or Allah Ta'ala has created. And that is within insan is an intention. Is the intention. This is linked to our ruh, our batin, and to our external self. The dunya, the world, what is the important role of intention in the world? Allah Ta'ala has kept this capacity within us. What is this? In the dunya, we have khair and shar. We have good and we have bad. Both of these things are present in the world. And this is a test for insan. That if insan, if good and khair overwhelms a person, if khair is greater, if khair is greater and overwhelms as a quality, then that person is successful. And if shar, if that overwhelms and is greater in amount, then the person, he will go towards that negative characteristic. If shar is present within the person, or the characteristics and qualities of shar on evil or darkness or bad things are within a person, then obviously he will follow the shaitani and the evil actions or inclinations. For example, how does the intention come into play in this regard? You see, a person's intention or a person's thoughts or his plans. I'll give you an example. There's a shop. Somebody has a shop, a store. And you go to the store to buy some items. When you go to the shop, to the store is open. Nobody's looking at you. Nobody's telling you anything. And there are good things and there are bad things. There's halal and there's haram. There's everything. So when you enter into the store, into the shop, then you will select the products to your preference and choice. You won't need to do mashwara with anybody. You will select and pick up the goods and the products that you desire, that you think are good. And at the end of the day, at the end of the process, the shopping process, the things that you've put into your basket, the products, you will present them at the end, at the till, the conveyor. And he will ask you for the funds, the money, and you will hand over the money to purchase those items. So this world is like a store. It is like a shop. In this shop, this store of the dunya, we have khair, we have good things, and we have shar, we have bad things. Allah Ta'ala is the Malik. Allah is the controller of this store. And Allah has given us total freedom that in this world you can go roam about in this world, live, there's khair and there's shar. You can buy what you want and you can disregard what you want, and I will let you take what you want. And this is the story. This is the story of the world. So this is the concept of intention and thoughts and control. Allah says, I've given you the control, your intention, your free will. So we have the will. So if you select the good things, Allah says, I'll give you the information, I'll give you the framework, I'll give you the guidance. Allah has been merciful on top of this. I will give you information, what is bad and what is good. And Allah says, if you select the khair, the good things, then Allah Ta'ala says, what will I do? Allah Ta'ala says that I will keep giving you khair and goodness. I will give you. وَمَنْ أَرَضَ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا Allah Ta'ala says, a person who intends good and the hereafter. What does Allah Ta'ala do? Allah Ta'ala gives him the hereafter. سَعِمْ مَشْكُورًا Allah Ta'ala says, I will elevate your efforts and your straining and striving. And if you select shar, then what is the situation with shar, with the evil? There's a thing that is attached to the shar, and that is shaitan. If you go to the store, and a person comes into the store, he says, no, he's a consultant. He's a marketing expert, or a sales consultant. And in the world, when we want to consult, and well-groomed, and they say, oh, I know about the products in this shop, don't buy this item, buy this item. And shaitan, he's been given the total freedom and power that he can try to deviate people. So we, for example, were ill or we're distressed and worried. So shaitan, the expert, he will come. So all of the distressing things and worries and problems, difficulties in the world, he will give us the cure, the solution. Take this person's money, take this person's shop, and take from this person's pockets, and trick this person, I'll buy you this house and that house, and then eat his money and run away with his money. This is mashwara of shaitan. So which direction does he take you? He takes you towards the shar, the evil, the darkness. So our intention, our desire, he molds it towards his likes. So the angels are not going to come physically in front of us and say, no, do this, do that. The game will end then, isn't it? That's the end of the contest then, isn't it? So Allah Ta'ala says, I will give you reward. Yes, the shaitan will be there. Evil inclinations will be there. But it's your task. Let's see how you select khair with your desire and your thoughts and your willpower and your intentions. And let's see how you opposed the will and intention and trickery of shaitan. So do you understand? This is the game of life. The game of life. So Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, he did not send us empty-handed into the world, did he? Without any tools or anything that we can oppose shaitan. Shaitan's got power, he's got control, and he tries to take us towards shar. So did Allah Ta'ala not give us a method or a means to go towards the khair? So what is the good thing here? Is the willpower. We should strengthen our willpower, that we shouldn't even think for a second that we need to buy anything bad or go towards the bad. Everything we should select is khair. It should be our choice, that our willpower and intention is so strong so that we don't need to go towards shaitan. So mashallah, everything in terms of success for us in this world and hereafter will hinge on our willpower, our strength of intention. If I have got strong intentions and willpower, I will intend khair and good things. If I don't have that strong willpower and intention, then I will intend shar and evil things. So khair, the concept of goodness and the life of goodness, how do I attain this life of goodness? How do I correct my intentions and thoughts and my will so that I focus on the right things, the good things, so that I get taqwa, so I get fear of Allah and I get strength and conviction in my deeds? This is very important, this point. This is a very important tool, you can say, that will be required by us to live our life successfully as believers. If we have awareness and consciousness and understanding, then if we understand the reason why I go towards shar, evil, it was my intentions and thoughts and will is dirty and impure, and I need to correct this, strengthen this, align this, so that I go towards good. So if my thoughts are good, if my intentions are good, then I will never go towards bad, will I? So Allah Ta'ala says, correct your intentions, correct your thoughts and your willpower. Very easy to do that. How? Allah is Kareem, Allah is merciful. He's explained to us how to do this. Allah has given us a tariqah, how to correct the intentions, how to develop the willpower, how to develop the intentions. And if we do that, inshallah, we'll be successful. Am I right or am I wrong? Am I right or am I wrong? So Allah Ta'ala has given us advice that if you correct your intentions, strengthen your intentions, your willpower, your focus and thoughts in this way, then you'll be successful. Allah has given us a method as well. He's not left us empty-handed. Just if Allah Ta'ala has given shaitan the power, the control or influence, likewise Allah says, I'll give you a method. Oh believer, I'll give you a method. If you practice it, it will take you towards khair, good things, righteous deeds. Do you want to do this? Do you want to know what is that solution of yours? How important this is for us. These are little things we call little, but the elders, the pious people, this is the walis of Allah, have researched on these things. And they're so precious, that's why they're called pearls. And these people, the walis of Allah, people who go to the wali Allah's gathering and they hear these things. If you catch hold of these small little things, your life will be made and the path will be opened for you. And you will be successful. You go towards the khair. So my brothers, what do we have to try to do and work hard for and make effort for? Let's strengthen our thoughts. Let's make our thoughts beautiful. Let's make our intentions brilliant. That whatever Allah wants from us, we take our actions towards that. Whatever Allah Ta'ala wants us to select from the shelves of this store, we select them and we reject the bad products. So for that, the biggest thing is what? Allah Ta'ala has given a big effect in sohbat, in keeping good company, you could say. Yes, if you want to strengthen your thoughts, your willpower, your intentions, and what is the thing that has the biggest effect on your physical life, that is sohbat, that is keeping good and pious company. If you attain the company of a wali of Allah, if you attain the company of a friend of Allah, a salih insan, a righteous, upright individual, very quickly the effects of the company of that wali of Allah will bear the effects upon you. And Allah Ta'ala has been merciful to mankind in this way, that people who are spoilt, who are deviated, who are lost, who are wandering in the darkness, the initiation of their life of khair started from the company of a pious person. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his blessed generation. Before he sallallahu alaihi wasallam came and arrived to this world and illuminated it with his presence, how much darkness there was, how much deviation there was, how much people were lost. But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came as rahmatul lil alameen, the mercy to the universe. And first and foremost, what happened? Those same people were so dirty, impure. You cannot imagine how impure they were. This was the darkest generation in history. Those same people, from within the depth of that darkness of practice, when they saw the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and experienced his blessed company, their lives transformed. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't read the Quran to them openly. No. First thing, when a person entered into the company and the gathering of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the first thing he did was what? That whatever was his bad situation, his dirty, impure position, the first sight of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that such a blessed and illuminated face, that why should I not bring iman inside my heart by seeing that blessed, great face of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? So the first change that came in this world was due to the blessed physical company of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The company of the Nabi transformed the people of Makkah and beyond. Wherever people came from, when they came to the blessed physical company gathering of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, their lives changed, and the whole Jamaat of the Sahaba was created, hinged on this point of company. And the Ashabi Rasul, the blessed companions radiallahu anhum, were what? They were the companions due to one factor, the physical company. Remember, not every person at the time of Rasulullah became a Sahabi, did he? No. They became the Sahaba because they took and kept and went into the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam for a minimum amount of time with iman in their heart, and they attained the blessedness and the good effects. Soon as a person sat and he saw Rasulullah and brought about iman and had iman in his heart, he was washed, cleansed, purified from within. And this is the effect of sohbat, of company, my friends. Physical company. And this is proof. This will continue till the day of judgment. So the first step, the first rung on the ladder for us, if we want to correct our intentions, strengthen our thoughts, become good people, all of the khair if we want in the life, then it will come through good intentions, good thoughts, and having good intentions and good thoughts and strong willpower. So if we take good company, we will have positive in this respect. If we have bad company, we'll have negative in this respect. So on the left hand, you have the impurities and the dirt. On the right, you have the flower blossoming. Allah says, you want flowers and blossoming and beautiful fragrance, I'll take you towards the goodness. If you want the negatives and the wrong things, Allah says, I'll take you to the left, to the darkness. So Allah says, your choice, at the fork, you're standing at the fork. Do you want to go right to the flower, to the petals that are blooming and are fragrant and nice, or do you want to go to the left, to the darkness? Allah says, then I'll give you the method. So develop. If you want to do amal on the good things, Allah says, I'll develop you towards that. If you go into select and take hold of the company of a wali of Allah, a friend of Allah, inshallah, the color In other words, his practice will rub off onto you. The best way, the best method to correct your life and become a good Muslim is to take the company of pious people. It's the fastest, it's the quickest and most efficient and smooth way to become a good Muslim. And this color, the color that will rub off onto you, the practice, it's not just, for example, you've sat down here, you've heard some words, you've heard the speech like we do regularly, and you leave here and then the shaitan attacks you. Aha, but that's the different point here. Company, if you sit in the company with the intention, clean intention, salih intention, then remember, for example, you've got this color on your clothes and then you wash it, then the color of those clothes will come off, won't they, after getting the wash? And then there's another thing that says, guaranteed, you can wash this as much as you want, the color will not wash, it will not run. If it's blue, it will come out blue. If it's red, it will come out red. If it's green, it will come out green. And companies like this, that you can keep the company of pious people, you come and sit down, take the company, then that color that comes, the dye that comes onto the pigments, onto your clothing, onto your ruh, onto your iman, will be so solid, that color will never run. In other words, the qualities and characteristics that rub off onto you, due to the pious company, will never wash off, will never wear away, will never fade, inshaAllah. The pious predecessors, the elders in Islam, have given nasiha, advice that when your child starts to grow up and become youthful, then there are institutions, schools for children. First things is the mother and the father. That's the first institution. Alhamdulillah, if the mother and father and the household environment is good, is deeni, and it's a very beautiful environment in which is Allah and Allah's Rasul, there's Quran, there's dhikr, and there's sharia, and there's Quran, and so on. Then soon as the child is born, the child will take the color and the fragrance from the father and the mother in the environment that he or she is in. If by chance the household, there's not full of the deen, and we want the children to become hafiz and pious, alhamdulillah, we have the passion desire, but there's a principle Allah Ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran, that if you want to become, make your children hafiz and pious, then give them the company. Give them the company. Because as I said to you before, Allah Ta'ala has told us and guided us and advised us that company will have the biggest effect. So when the child is in the company of the mother or the father, then we think he's a child, he doesn't know anything. No, he's taking the company from the mother, from the father. He's learning, she is learning. And that environment you've created in the home, the effect of that will rub off onto the child definitely, continuously, steadfastly. So alhamdulillah, if you give this environment to a child, if you don't have fikr, we have the worry for producing the children, but we don't have the worry for looking after the children, rearing the children, and bearing them, and giving them advice, and nurturing them. We say, oh, when they're grown up, we'll put them in the school, I'll make him this, and that career, and that career. But spiritually, physically, within batin, his akhlaq, his conduct, and manners, we're not concentrating that. If we give more to akhlaq, we say, oh, send him to madrasa, teach him Quran, teach him kitab, oh, teach him qaida. This is our standard that we are teaching. They know we are following Islam and we're following the dunya. And this is a dangerous production that is creating, we are creating in the world today. And these are the children that are coming down society. This is not enough that you teach them Quran. The best thing, the most important thing is akhlaqiyat. The conduct is batin, is totally clean. Just like Hazrat Abdul Qadir Jilani, alhamdulillah, his mother, mashallah, she gave one nasiha, my son never lie. That one nasiha made him ghawthul adam, the greatest ghawth. So, the most important thing that we have to concentrate on for our children, yes, we give them external things. We teach them Quran, send them madrasa, teach them naqaida, and the Arabic, etc. This is good, but this is not something that's going to rectify the child and make them a good human being. If we do not consider and pay regard to their batin, their spirituality, and this develops from the young life, when the child takes the company from the very young life, not after when he's grown up. So from when the young life, what do? It's very big responsibility, this, that when a person gets married, this is not some temporary life and joke. Allah Ta'ala says that Allah has given you trust. For example, a child when he's going to be born. And some people have children, some people don't have children. We think that, oh, this is a production line, a conveyor belt, a child's born and that's fine. And send him into the world and dispose of him. Astaghfirullah. This is a trust that Allah Ta'ala has given to a Muslim. That he's been given another life that he has to keep in trust and rear up in a correct way. This is a trust that Allah Ta'ala has given. And how did you rear this trust? How did you treat this trust? And how did you send this trust into the dunya and send it back to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala into his trust? into his safekeeping. So when you get married, this is a very important step. You should consider that the two partners will come together, get married, and inshallah in the future they will have children. And if you think that the environment, your house is incorrect, there's evil, there are wrong actions, then before the child is born, then you have to drop the idols and the statues. If you want the children to be to grow up nicely, not that, oh, the house, the environment's wrong, or let's send him into the madrasa, into the masjid, and make him this and that, and we're teaching and educating the children, and we're giving them worldly education, then that child, he will become like a mixture, like a cocktail. It'll be like a fruit cocktail, that he will have no direction, he'll have no boundary, he will practice whatever is his will. So the first and foremost important point, that give the child the sohbat, the company in the home, in the house. And whose company? The mother and the father. Who else? Both of them. So both individuals, the parents, when the child sees the company of the parents, then he will see the company, the habits of the parents. He won't see that the father's lying. Or, for example, I heard an event recently. There was a child, a very young child, 4 or 5 years old, and a phone call came. And when the phone call came, then the mother picked up the phone, or somebody else picked up the phone, and the child said, that if you ask him about me, then if the mother said, the child said, if you're asking for me, tell him I'm not home. They all started laughing, because this, the child has observed this. He's 4 years old, but in his mind, this point has come that my father, he does this. He sits at home, and if someone's ringing, he says, if they're asking for me, tell him I'm not home. He lies, and then the child will emulate the father. So this, we think, we consider this is a child, he doesn't know. No, I'm talking about company. That if you want to make your children good, the first thing is that they take the company of the mother and the father, and the mother and father should be proper sheikhs, proper teachers. They shouldn't be two-faced. They shouldn't lie, the akhlaq should be complete, the muamalat should be complete, the household environment should be good. For example, if you want to keep your child within parda, then the mother should be observing parda. Before the child is born, then the mother should be like this. So the effect bears and rubs off. Because we want the akhirah, we want the hereafter. And you have to try for the akhirah. And you have to practice in yourself in the direction of the akhirah. Then Allah says, your children will become the same, won't they? This is sohbah, this is company, I'm telling you about. So after this company, when a person becomes baligh and mature and grown up, after that, if this company, a child is attained of pious parents, even then the child after growing up needs the company of a wali, of a friend of Allah, to take him or her through the journey, the rough waters of the life of the world. Definitely you have to take your children towards the company of friend of Allah. And only if you've done that and you've tasted that in a nice way and you've enjoyed and benefited from the environment, then you will encourage your children also, and you'll say to your children, you'll take their hand and say, come. There are many events of the walis of Allah who used to present, you were themselves presented by their parents to the wali of Allah, and then the wali of Allah would embrace them or give them something sweet to eat, and mashallah, then this would, their fares and blessings would be transferred from the wali of Allah to the student, to the young child, and then obviously they would in turn become pious people. So the second step, first of all, is the company, the good company, the pious company of the parents. Secondly, is the good company, the pious company of a wali of Allah. So first step, the first rung, you had the company of good parents. Second step, second rung, you had the company of a wali of Allah, your teacher. Then you become a complete human being, alhamdulillah. A person who's going to then earn his irada, his will, his power will become totally full of nur. And after going in the store of the world, he will never buy a select and impure thing. He will prefer everything that Allah and His Rasul, that will take him to Allah's Rasul and to the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if we think now, that how much we have wasted in life, we pray salah, we do all good actions, tomorrow when we die, what will we, how will we account for our children? This is Islam that I'm telling you, my friends. This is the name of Islam. This is the flower, the root, the branch of Islam, through which the environment of Islam will become, through which the nation of Islam will become. And in every home, the children, they are within the production, not the production, but they are going through that journey of Islamic tarbiyah and perfection. Their akhlaq is being perfected. And when a person's batin is good, then he will affect the environment. When a person, he goes to a non-Muslim, and the non-Muslim will say, hey, this person's good character. He doesn't lie. lie, he doesn't hurt anyone, he doesn't commit injustice to anyone, he doesn't swear at anybody, he doesn't raise his hand on anybody. If somebody says bad to anybody, to a Muslim, and he is a good person, he will stay silent, he will not seek revenge on anyone, he will not do injustice to anyone. So if we have these characteristics and qualities that we should have happened in a whole generation of Muslims in all across the world should have had this, then alhamdulillah, today would people try to ridicule us, disrespect us? Would we be called terrorists today? But this is our origination. This is our origination and our proper status and quality, that a mu'min, a Muslim, if he goes anywhere in the world due to that one mu'min, one believer, it's like he has come as a ray of light, as the moon in the darkness of a cool night. That is the effect of a Muslim, of a believer. He sends nice coolness and beautiful feeling. He doesn't hit anyone, he doesn't beat anyone, he doesn't swear at anybody, he doesn't commit injustice to anybody, he doesn't do zulm to anyone. Rather, he perseveres, he bears the hardships, he listens to the ridiculing, he'll have patience. And mashallah, those people who don't believe in Allah, then with them, the believer has good akhlaq. He doesn't stand in front of them with a sword, or throw a bomb on them, or kill them, or commit injustice to them, or oppress them. Rather, he perseveres and absolves even their hardships, so that the non-believers can understand what is our akhlaq. Because the mu'min, the believer, his maqsad in the world is one, that he wants to give da'wah to the disbelievers so that they come back to the path of Allah. This is our first and foremost step and rung on the journey of Islam. And Allah will ask us on the Day of Judgment, that your akhlaq, your conduct, how good was it? Your tongue, was it truthful and honest? Was it upright? So that even a person who doesn't believe, he will turn around and say, Islam is great. Islam is a good deen. Their prophet is haq. Their Quran is haq. Is truth. This is the teaching of Islam. This is our deen of Islam. So where will we attain this from? From sohbat. From company. Do you understand what I'm saying? So what is this? You attain this from good company. When you attain good company, so when you get good company, his intention, his thoughts, when they become good, then he will attain that same thing, as his thoughts and feelings and willpower and intentions will become strong and robust. So when a Muslim goes through the good company of the parents and the company of the Shaykh, the true wali of Allah, then he becomes a well-rounded and complete individual. When a Muslim takes the company of the friend of Allah, then the first quick effect due to that sohbat that will come into the life of that Muslim, that believer, so quickly that the murid, the student, the disciple of the Shaykh, subhanAllah, you will have seen, experienced in your life, I've experienced in my life, Allahu Akbar, that when a person takes the company, then the color and effect of the Shaykh rubs off onto the student, within, batini and externally, outside. Such is the rubbing effect, the good effect of the company of the wali of Allah, that the person, subhanAllah, will say, oh, he is the murid of this shaykh. He is the student of this shaykh from far. They say, oh, are you the walking? He says, oh, this is the student of the shaykh. Subhanallah. What is the effect of this? Because the color, the effect of the shaykh has come off onto that person. His dahir, his batin, it transfers into that person. And that's why I stated that the more a person takes the company of his shaykh, of the wali of Allah, and sits in the company of the wali of Allah, then the true murid, he becomes the true. If you want to know he's a true student, a good student of a shaykh, then you can see that the color, in other words, the qualities and characteristics of the shaykh, just as he sits and talks and how he wears and eats, his style, his mannerisms, all of these things transfer into the individual, physically and spiritually, into the student. And people then around that student say, mashallah, he is a good person. The characteristics of his teacher within him, just like the Shaykh practices. He practices just the way he stands up, the way he sits down. If only you saw my Shaykh, then you would have seen that how much, mashallah, there is similarities between me and my Shaykh. Allahu Akbar. Sometimes it happened that I used to go on Umrah and I was sitting, and automatically this comes from behind. People would come and think that Hazrat has arrived. That they thought that my Shaykh is sitting, I was sitting there in that same place, and they used to come and sit down, like, oh, they say, we thought a Hazrat has come, your Shaykh has come, but this is Faruqi Sahib who's sitting here. So I used to also be at that time there. So mashallah, so many similarities come that people start to become deceived. Is this the Shaykh or the student is so similar? This is the total sign of a murid, of a student, that the amount of company you take, the color of the company will come onto you. Zahiri, externally and internally. And what happens there? If the Shaykh is practicing on something, then the murid, the student, sincere, he totally comes onto that practice as well. And that's why I stated, remember, I'm telling you the ma'amala here of success in tasawwuf, in the science of purification, rectification, that the relationship between the shaykh and the student is based on taqleed, not tanqeed. Not, oh, why is the shaykh doing this? Why is he said this? The murid says, my shaykh's doing this, he starts doing this. Blindly he follows, because he knows that this is the way of truth and success. The student will never criticize, never question, never challenge. This is taqleed. The science of tasawwuf, the branch of tasawwuf, the subject of tasawwuf. The student who follows this subject and studies this subject, he is successful when he blindly follows the sheikh, the teacher with taqleed. But if he says, oh, can you prove this to me? Where does this come from? Can you prove this to me? If you want proofs and dalils, then why have you accepted that person as your sheikh? You should have gone through that journey before you accepted the person as the sheikh. The sheikh can only be the sheikh, the teacher, when you accept the teacher. Unequivocally, Allah Ta'ala says, he has Sharia in his life, he has Sunnah in his life, he has Taqweed in his life, and he affects people. So the person who himself is a sheikh, he has himself gone through the journey and qualified and taken the permission from a sheikh who himself was a Kamil sheikh, who followed the Sunnah and the Sharia and purified the hearts of people. So if your sheikh, the teacher, has done mujahida and struggled and learnt, and then he becomes your sheikh, why are you questioning? Not that your sheikh, your teacher, just sat for a few hours with another sheikh and got khilafat deputization. No, your sheikh himself spent years and long time and did mujahida, and he spent time and struggled and crushed his desires and qualified in the company of another sheikh. So when you are taking the company of a sheikh, accepting someone as teacher, ask the question, how did he become a sheikh? How did he acquire this status and this rank of a sheikh? Did he strive? Did he spend years and years and perfect his deen in the company of another sheikh? Was he perfected as a human being, as a student in the company of another sheikh? See, if you want Sunnah and Sharia, and you want to become a perfect human being, then go to and learn from a sheikh who himself struggled and strived and got the permission from a true sheikh. Learning how to save yourself from haram, following the Sunnah of Rasulullah, following Sharia, how to do worship like Rasulullah, the same aqidah, the same practice, and that same color and effect will come into you, and this will be success, alhamdulillah. So what do we realize? This success hinges on what? Sohbat. So whatever the sheikh intends, whatever the sheikh wants to do, that will transfer into the murid, into the disciple, into the student. Automatically you'll become so elevated, your willpower, your mindset and your lifestyle, that never will you select the wrong product from the store of the dunya. Your life, your intentions, your focus, your concentration and your practice will be so clear and transparent, just like your teacher, that in the akhirah it will be clear that this person was an upright and righteous person. So the most important thing we have to learn from our sheikh's company is the correction of intention, the correct willpower, and the correct decisions. We should never desire impure things, dirty things, waste of time. We should smell the stench from these bad things. We should dislike these things, and not like these things. Our choice should not be haram. And wrong things. We should have the hatred towards the temporary things of the dunya that never give us success. Rather, we start to love and like the things that Allah and His Rasul ﷺ like. And if our sheikhs like this, then we should become like this. And however you take the sohbat, the company, inshallah the result will be quick, and you will attain the success if you make your intention solid. If your intention is made solid, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu said in hadith, such a very important thing is the strengthness of conviction. If your conviction is good, if your convictions are straight, if your convictions are correct, if a Muslim intends to do good, Hazrat Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu narrated in this Muttafaq alayhi hadith, that if you intend to do a good thing, if you desire to do good thing, and you desire, just desire that good thing, okay? What will happen? Allah Ta'ala says, as soon as you made the intention to do or regards to a good thing, Allah Ta'ala says, totally one complete good deed is written to your, is recorded in your book of deeds. And if you go the next step, you complete that good intention, that good desire, and you transform that intention into a good deed, then Allah says, I will increase the reward to 10,000 and beyond. Not just one good deed, but beyond 10,000. So if, for example, you make an intention that in the morning I'm going to pray tahajjud. Okay? If you make an intention, or from today I'm going to do miswak every day. And before I sleep in the night, I'm going to use the surah. Inshallah. I'll make an intention. I'll give you some examples. And you make these intentions, and on the other side, angels are writing. Takatak, takatak. They're writing your intentions into your book of deeds. So you'll get the rewards for these good intentions and desires. And you attain these good intentions from the company of a wali of Allah, or from other good company, pious people. So you're not physically practicing, you're just making righteous, upright, good intentions at the moment. It's just mindful intentions. You're not thinking bad things, good intentions. Your niyyah is correct. Okay? So you get good deed and they are recorded in your book of deeds. And then let's say you go the next step and you practice. For example, Allah says, you make an intention. Allah says, then I assist you. So Allah says, then I assist you and I help you and I give you taqwiyat in your heart and inshallah you practice that deed. When you practice that deed, what occurs? Then Allah says, I don't count 10, 700, more than that. More than that, more than tenfold, more than 700-fold I will give to that person. What a great, great point, isn't this? What a beautiful point. And then, if I intend that from tomorrow morning, I'm not going to smoke. I make an intention. I make the intention. Allah says, soon as you intend to leave a bad thing, straight away I will write the good deed to your book of deeds, in your records. And, alhamdulillah, if I don't leave that, I made the intention, but in the morning I smoke again, Allah says, don't worry, then I will just write that one sin, not more than that. So even there you say, you're not written 10 sins or 700 sins, just like when we've written 10 good deeds or 700 good deeds or more. Alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala is merciful, He's so great. If you intend to leave the bad thing, then inshallah Allah will also make you leave that sin as well. So there are two methods now in front of us, available to us. How do you increase and better your intentions and desires? Number one is that take hold of the company of the wali of Allah. Insha'Allah, your intentions and desires will become good. You will start to think of good things and your destination will change. Your direction will change. And the other thing I will tell you that will give you the good effect. What is the action you have to do? The amal. After Isha or after the Salatul Isha, we have to do one good thing. We have to do a deed. What is that deed? That you ask for dua, isn't it? So you make your intentions in that dua. Allah, inshallah, I intend the morning, I'll get up the hajjud. Allah, I intend, I will read half a juz of Quran in the morning. In other words, you don't have time for half a juz, fine, it doesn't matter. But I'm talking about the intentions. Allah, after that, there's dhikr in the masjid, there's a majlis after fajr, I will go and present myself in the gathering. Okay? And inshallah, we'll go and sit there, and I will sit in dhikr, and I will read ishraq. What are you doing here? You're making the desires, the intentions. What's happening on the side? On every intention, a good deed is recorded for you in your name. On every intention, they're writing down those intentions as deeds. Mukammal, complete good deeds are being recorded in your book of actions. Inshallah, in the morning, this is what you have to do after Isha. Do this, okay? So in the morning, Allah, then after being free from salah, I will, Allah, pray all the salah in the day in congregation. Now you know that you won't have the time. But why not make the intention that even if you can't do it, one good deed is recorded in your book. It's been written. Allah, we know that maybe it will be difficult for you to read the salah in congregation because you have work, but no problem. You have no limit with this because you are standing in the court of Allah. You're speaking to Allah who can change the fortunes and situations. Maybe if due to your work you can't read salah in the masjid and you make intention, Allah says, don't worry, I will change your job for you. I will change your career and your rizq will come from such a place that inshallah you won't need to pray in the workplace, but they will knock on your door, the rizq will come to your door. وَمَن يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ, Allah Ta'ala says, وَمَن يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ, when you trust in me, you rely on me, I have such treasures, you create the khawf and design your heart, from such a place you will get the rizq, attain the rizq, you cannot imagine. You cannot imagine, and from there your rizq will come. And we, no, it's too hard. I can't attend this. I need to drive the taxi. Am I going to pray the salah in the masjid? This is our life. Negative thoughts and negative desires. I can't get up in the morning. Am I going to get up for tahajjud? What's the point of intending for that? Am I going to pray all my salah in the masjid? It's too hard, man. Oh, going with the children after work and this. Who is saying this to us? Who is influencing us? Shaitan. He's dragging us towards shar, evil. And we sat with our sheikh teacher, we have to strengthen our conviction and desire and will and say, Allah, I want to go to you. I want to select the good products from the store of the world. And the best product in the store of the world from the shelf is salah. The greatest product that you can take from the shelf of the store of the journey is prayer. And if you make the total and beautiful intention and will, what's the first thing you will desire? Allahul five salah. I want to pray where? In jamaat, in congregation. This is my intention, Allah. The rest is your karam, Allah, your mercy. After that, you pray your salah in the masjid. And then Hazrat, he gave me dhikr. I'm going to fulfill that. I'm going to do all that. Plan your day. that whatever you can take, mashallah, plan it, everything, and on everything you will get, you won't be going empty handed, you'll get a good deed. Even if you think you can't do it, you know you won't be able to do it. But what do you have to do? You have to make the intention, the desire, and you'll get the good deed. Will you do this or not? How easy in method. You're getting the treasures of Jannah free of charge. And you know, after you raise your hands, after dua, after salah, when you raise your hands, if you ask, then you will enjoy that you're taking something with you. So all the more you ask, you'll be written in your book of deeds. And if you're thinking about bad deeds, Allah, and these intentions will be written as good deeds in your book of deeds, even though you may sin the next day, but the good deeds are being recorded. And all the good deeds, inshallah, Allah Ta'ala says, through those good deeds being recorded due to intentions, Allah says, I will finish the sins. If Allah can give rizq and wealth due to good desires from such a source that you cannot imagine, then Allah Ta'ala can create the power that will annul and reject and finish off the sins forever. So you get both things. And along that you get the good deeds. So your willpower and desires and intention become strong. Your life is full of nur and light. Alhamdulillah. Allah says you are then preparing for the hereafter. The person who intends for the hereafter and the iman is strengthened. Allah Ta'ala says, don't worry, Sai Mashkura. I will assist you. I will value your intention. I will strengthen it and give you ajr and reward. So this is, my brothers, the concept of intention and desire. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq that we take all of good company and we immerse ourselves into the color of our sheikh. We do taqleed, we don't do tanqeed. We blindly follow, we don't question and challenge. Oh sheikh, why are you doing this? Why is this? What's the reason? Oh, this is not proven here. Which book, kitab? You can carry on looking for the dalil. We've got time to practice. We haven't got time to debate. We don't have enough time to sit here and decide and make faisala and decisions. We haven't got less time. It's your choice. You can go and analyze and research and come back and let us know. We are on this path. Allah Ta'ala has put us on this path. And inshallah, until death, we will carry on this path. And that's it. We're not going to look left or right. May Allah Ta'ala give me and you the tawfiq. Ameen. Sohbat of the company. One more point. Beautiful point just has come to my mind. MashaAllah, I remember words of a pious predecessor whose I thought had finished. But another beautiful point came to my mind. Remember, why is the company of the Shaykh very precious? Straight away, this point came to my mind. Hazrat, the pious, they said that you should try to get as much company of your sheikh as possible. What's the reason for this? They said that the company of the wali of Allah, you should take as much as you can. You don't know which moment is the moment of acceptance. You don't know which moment is the moment of acceptance. And the friend of Allah, the wali of Allah, if his focus comes onto you, you will transform, you will go across the mountains, the heights of the mountains, and you will surpass all the heights. This is the words of the wali of Allah. Because Allah Ta'ala's rahmah comes down every second. And if such a tawajjuh of the wali of the shaykh comes into your heart, that's why you go to the company of the wali of Allah, so that the tawajjuh, the attention of the shaykh can come, and you can then surpass the heights and the cross, the difficulties. This is the effect of the company of the wali of Allah. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Ameen. Recite the durood sharif.